Good evening. That was good. If ever I get a chance to talk to Billy Graham, I'm going to ask him if he'll come to Keystone and have a crusade, and I'll promise that we can provide the choir. And I think they'll be every bit as good as the choirs that he has of several thousand voices. I can remember going up to Boston Garden week in, week out when I was in college. Never missed a meeting up there, going up to council and work. It's quite a thrill to gather in Madison or Boston Garden with 13,000 people. Quite funny to hear 13,000 people from Boston sing "How Great Thou Art." But, you know, as I go north, I think ahead to some of the places that I'll be where the singing is kind of quiet, and I can already start missing the good singing. And Andy really picked out my favorite ones tonight, and I'm thankful for that. Would you turn, please, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I'd like to read verse 22 through verse 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And then verse 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let's just pray. Father, again we acknowledge before thee tonight our dependence upon thee. We acknowledge our utter dependence upon the work of thy Holy Spirit. And we thank thee that thou hast promised to meet the need of each heart. Give us listening ears and understanding hearts, we do ask. For we pray in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. I mentioned this morning that I'd like to speak about one more parts of this fruit of the Spirit tonight. Having spoke last year on meekness and goodness, and I would like to speak tonight on that particular part of the fruit. I say part because, as you know, it's not nine different fruits, it's parts of the whole. Such as in an apple, you need a stem and you need a core and you need seeds and you need skin, and you can't say that any part is apple and any part isn't. You need it all, but you can't say that a seed is one fruit and the core is another fruit. It's all parts of a whole fruit, and we as Christians should have nine parts of a whole fruit. That is, a whole Spirit of God. Now, it's true that different Christians will have different parts in varying degrees, but we should all be working on these things, and we should all have them in some degree. And I'd like to speak tonight upon my favorite one, which is the word, the last word in the 22nd verse, faith. I've done a lot of studying about this recently. While I was down in Winter Park, I had a good opportunity to do some studying. And for one thing, I'd like to remark right at the outset that this word is not well translated, faith. I meant to bring the RSV up here tonight, and I got only so far with it. But the RSV reads, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control." Faithfulness. And I think the word faithfulness there expresses much more clearly what's in mind here. There's a famous commentator named Kenneth Wiest. I'd just like to read what he said on this. He says, "This does not refer here to faith exercised by the saint, but to faithfulness and fidelity as produced in the life of the yielded Christian by the Holy Spirit." Let me read that again. "This does not refer here to faith exercised by the saint, but to faithfulness and fidelity as produced in the life of the yielded Christian by the Holy Spirit. Now, I say this is my favorite one in the list for this reason. As I see it, this fruit here has wrapped up in its very nature the thought of quality and the thought of quantity. You can have love on Monday and be very lacking in it on Tuesday. Now, probably if you have it on Monday, you'll have it on Tuesday. But I've seen individuals who are very loving at one moment and not so loving at another moment. And same with joy to some degree. Certainly it's true that with peace, long-suffering is certainly a long-term thing. But faithfulness has, to my mind, the quality of that which is good, that which is desirable in the Christian, but not just so much that which is good, but that which is good and lasts over a long period of time. I'd just like to point out to you before we move on that in verse 15 of our chapter, or verse 17, it says, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things ye would." Now notice that. It says the flesh and the Spirit are against each other. They're fighting. They're against each other. They're in opposition. I think you can see this very clearly if we look just at two verses. The works of the flesh, verse 19, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Is not this spiritual, or rather physical, unfaithfulness? This is the flesh, which lusteth against the Spirit and is contrary to it. Adultery and fornication are physical unfaithfulness. And the word we're studying is faithfulness, a fruit of the Spirit. Look a little farther in verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, is not this spiritual unfaithfulness? Again, the work of the flesh. And at the end of verse 20, strife, seditions, heresies. This is doctrinal, scriptural. This is mental unfaithfulness. And so you see, on the side of the works of the flesh, we have these things that are shown to be in opposition or at warfare or at variance with the fruit of the Spirit. And this wonderful word that we study tonight, faithfulness, I hope in the time that remains we can take a look at several verses in the scriptures that will help us to understand. First of all, I'd like to speak to you about the grounds for faithfulness. What are the grounds for faithfulness? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians 5, we read a list. The God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next verse says, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. The reason or the ground for your faithfulness and mine to the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is faithful. Now, right now we're being a little impersonal, we're being a little theoretical, and we're just looking at some theory here, but before we get through, I intend to bring this down a little bit more onto our own level. Right now, it's good to lay a good background. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. If you don't want to turn to these, it's all right. I'll read them out. 2 Timothy 2 and 13. Let's read verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. How wonderful, Christian, that if we're faithful, God is faithful. If we believe not, if we falter, if our faith gets weak, he's still faithful. That's because of the nature of God. He can't deny himself and become unfaithful when we as weak human beings, finite creatures, become unfaithful. When we are unfaithful, when we are unbelieving, he is still faithful. And then one more verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. What a wonderful thing here. What a wonderful hope that Paul has for these believers at Thessalonica. And he says why? He says, the Lord is faithful. He starts out, he says, the Lord is faithful who will do this. That is the ground for our faithfulness. And then, too, I have a note here. It says some Old Testament examples of faithfulness. Well, we could spend a long time tonight going over Old Testament examples, and I have two verses here for Abraham that talk about his faithfulness. But because the time is flying, I don't want to spend too much time in this. I'll give you the references. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7, believe it or not, talks about the faithfulness of Abraham. And Galatians 3 and verse 9 speak about being blessed with faithful Abraham. But turn over to Daniel 6 and 4, and this will be our Old Testament example. Daniel chapter 6. And verse 4. Now these presidents that gave Daniel so much trouble, they wanted to find something against Daniel that they could accuse him to the king. And what a wonderful thing that is said here of this man Daniel. Daniel 6 and verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. That's great. That means that Daniel not only had a good day, but that Daniel had good day after good day, and that his good days went on back to back. And after a while, it was evident that Daniel was not only a loving person and a joyful person and a person with peace, it was also evident that Daniel was a faithful person. And I wonder tonight, Christians, as we sit here and again look into our own lives and let the Holy Spirit search our lives, I wonder what we know of faithfulness. Oh, to anything you want to think about. Faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness to a friend. Faithfulness to a job. Faithfulness to whatever it may be that we believe in or hope for or know we should be faithful to. Maybe the Lord has given you something that you ought to do. I commend these thoughts to you. Now, thirdly, we've thought first of all of our ground of faithfulness, and then we've looked at a couple of Old Testament examples. I would like to spend just a moment over in the book of Proverbs with you. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and it has something to say to us about this matter of faithfulness. And we'll just skip right through several verses, and we'll only read one verse in each passage, and I think you'll see the connection. Chapter 11 and verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. How wonderful at Park of the Palms if we could say of every individual here, that person is of a faithful spirit. They're able to conceal the matter. Now, this doesn't mean sweeping it under the carpet. This means the prevention of gossip. And every one of you, including myself especially, can take this right into our hearts. And if it's needed, we can apply it. A faithful spirit. 13:17, chapter 13, verse 17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is help. This is the faithful messenger or ambassador. And what is the characteristic? Health. That's Proverbs 13 and verse 17. Health. This one word describes what a faithful person will bring in the midst of a group of other persons. Why, it's just a healthy thing to have a person like this around. Someone who's of a faithful spirit. Someone who's a faithful messenger. Chapter 14 and verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Now here we have the faithful witness, and it's one who does not lie. It's one who's characterized by the truth. And how we need Christians to be characterized by the truth. Now, what I mean by that is, I'm sure there's no one here, if someone walked up to you and said, were you at the store today, you wouldn't tell them an outright lie and say no if you were there. But what I mean is the little subtle things that Satan uses to come in and to mar our relationships with others and to hurt our testimony. A faithful witness will not lie. Chapter 27 and verse 6. Chapter 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of Judas are always very painful because they betray a heart which is not really concerned about the one that they speak to. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. How many of us need to be able to take criticism? I know this is true for myself. A friend comes up and says, listen, friend, you could do better here in this way. It's hard to take that. And yet if we have friends that are faithful, they'll help us grow in the Lord by a little constructive criticism mixed with maybe some blessings or good words. And then finally, chapter 28 and verse 10. Chapter 28 and verse 20, excuse me. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Just notice that first part. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. One who is faithful to the Lord, I believe, will abound with blessings. We can't all measure our blessings from the Lord in dollars and cents. Some can, others can measure it in health, others in talent. We've all got a way to measure our blessings from the Lord. But it says that we will abound in them if we're faithful. So much for that. Well, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. One more good verse here. Hebrews 10, 23. This is another characteristic. These are the characteristics of a faithful person we've been considering. Let us hold fast, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We as faithful Christians are to hold fast what we believe and what we know from the Word of God without wavering. And this might seem very easy, but it's very hard. This means that when we know in our mind that we're walking with God, that we have fellowship with Him, that we're pleasing Him, and Satan comes along and tries to discourage us by showing us this, that, or the other thing, we ought not to waver. We ought to tell Satan that we're being faithful to the Lord. And if we're in a dark spot, if we're in a valley, if we're in a little trouble, we'll be through to the other side before you know it. We ought not to waver. I get a chance to talk to Christians occasionally, not here, but in school or other places, especially young people, and it just seems that they have a faith that's kind of wavering, and oh, how you hope and you pray that the Lord will plant their feet on a rock, and that over the years they'll begin to say, I know what I believe. I'm absolutely convinced. I'm sure of it. And then in the third book of John, way over near the book of Revelation, the third letter of John, and verse 5, verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. How nice. Someone that was performing that obligation that God had given faithfully, whether it be to the brethren, that is to the Christians, or whether it be to the strangers, whether it be to the unsaved, those who are outside, or maybe strangers here means Christian brethren. So you see, God would have us be faithful not only to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but faithful to those who don't know about Christ. How is it going to be instrumental in leading someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ to Him if we are those who break their word, those who are talebearers, those who reveal secrets, those who tell lies? These are surely not the people that the Lord can use to win other souls for Christ. I mention this because many of us wonder why we don't lead more people to the Lord. Possibly the world looks upon our faithfulness and says, well, you may talk like this now, but you know, 2 years ago I remember. Oh, yes. That's long ago, passed out of our memory. We've made that right with the Lord a long time ago. But the world remembers. When I was younger, I heard someone say that it takes one act to mar a testimony that can be scarcely repaired over a whole life. And I thought, well, that's an exaggeration if ever I heard one. Why, one silly little thing people can forgive and forget and time will heal it. But you know, I've seen some examples as I grew older of people who did one foolish thing and it got to be noised around and it was a testimony spoiled for the Lord. It's a sobering thought. So much for the characteristics of a faithful Christian. And now, let's look at a few things that will help us to understand faithfulness a little better. This is really the end of what I want to say. We mentioned this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. When I was sitting there listening to this wonderful singing, I was thinking to myself, being my last message before I go north, I'd like to acknowledge the kindness of the people here at Park of the Palms to me in many ways. And I thought to myself, my goodness, if I began to mention names, I'd have to go right down starting here and go one right after another. I'd probably touch on everyone and have something to say about everyone. And so since I can't do that, I'll do like Mr. Willie said, I won't mention any. Well, I'll mention two. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of Mr. Willie and Mr. Meyer to take me as a young person and work with me over the months of the summer or the winter. And while I didn't always agree, usually it was because I was wrong and just didn't see it yet, but here are men that God has placed in charge of this place, Park of the Palms. And you know, there may be some things that you as individuals don't see just as they see it. And you want to differ with them. The Lord bless you, but make sure you proceed your differing with plenty of prayer. I was in a meeting not long ago where a man said, the elders of this meeting have taken a vote, and they voted to make our group here, they started a new group, they said they voted to have the group here be at what is called an assembly. And this man mentioned the denomination he was from, and he said, and I was the only dissenter. And you know, it was said to that man, and I was very sorry to hear this, he said, I won't leave. He said, I'll do all I can in the days and years ahead to stop this from happening. In other words, he was dedicating his life to kicking against the work of the Lord. And another brother there said, well, I'm not going to vote because I'm too young a Christian and I don't know yet what to have. So when they decided to have an assembly testimony in the neighborhood, he said, praise the Lord, now let's get on with it. I'm all for it. And you know, today he's the most spiritually mature brother in the group, I think. I shouldn't judge. But he certainly has a great deal of spiritual maturity. Why? Because after the decision, he said, let's get on with it and work for the Lord. And the other man has spent well nigh 2 years, perhaps a little more, doing everything he could to undermine and to bring down the work of the Lord in that area. It's a sad thing, and I think it's sad to realize that the judgment that will fall upon a person such as this. And I try to bring this down on a personal level because I realize that here at Park of the Palms, we have some problems. We all live close together, and we all know each other by first or second name at least. And just like any group of people, we're going to have little problems here and there. And you know, Satan would love to take one or two of these little things and build them up into a great big thing. But I don't believe that he can do it if we are the kind of people who are faithful. Not faithful to a calling as far as an earthly calling goes, but faithful to an overall concept that the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church and we have an opportunity to get in on it and to pull together and to do some work for him. And so I exhort you tonight to pray for your leaders here at Park of the Palms as well as those in authority in our nation. I've been in that office down there a good many days working on the bulletin or some other job, and I've heard various individuals come in, and not always as gracious as they could be, but I thank the Lord for the good testimony and the good, honest spirit that both of our brethren who lead the Park of the Palms have. I can honestly say I've never heard them be unkind to anyone. I think that's a good testimony. 6 months isn't as long a testimony of faithfulness as there could be, but that's all I've been here. And I thank the Lord for a good, faithful testimony on the part of these men. And then, too, I thank all of you that have been so kind to me while I've been here. Every one of you in your own way. Many of you faithful in prayer. Faithful in other ways. You know, as a young person, you look at human beings, and you all know this, the tendency to have an idol or to have a spiritual person that you look up to in the Lord is always great. And while I love the individuals that have a lot of love, and I love the individuals who are at peace, love those who have a lot of joy, my greatest respect has always been for ones who have gray hair and could look back on 40 and 50 and 60 years of service for the Lord and faithfulness. Some of the dearest Christians I know, and this has been a real blessing and uplift to my heart and my life as I have learned to grow in the Lord. Not only to see those that are today all laughing and happy in the Lord, but to see those that have consistently, over a period of years and years and years, walked with the Lord. This is wonderful. This is a wonderful encouragement. And this, I would honestly say, is as great an encouragement to any Christian young person as you could provide. A faithful testimony over the years. It's a wonderful thing. I say this because I believe that it's a good deterrent to evil. There's more other reasons than that, but I believe that sometimes when we get tired and we just can't seem to serve the Lord anymore, and we just can't seem to get strength to confess the Lord or do the right thing or do the hard thing, if we realize that over the years we're building a testimony in front of men and in front of young people, in front of other Christians, it would help us sometimes to realize that this is all part of faithfulness. Every one day is a building block on a long building, the life of faithfulness. I hardly think it can be exaggerated. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, we read this. Now, this is the parable about the talents. Verse 21, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 23 says the same thing. Just like we pointed out this morning, what was important to the Lord here is not who had the most talents, who had the most money. The Lord has all the money, so He doesn't need it. The Lord's not poor. He didn't say, well, the man who had five and now it's ten, why, he's done more than anyone else. He got me more money. He said, I have given you a certain amount of talent, and you've been faithful. And the man to whom He'd only given two had made that into four. He said, here are other two. He said, well done. The same thing. And what's the lesson here? I believe that the lesson is that it's not so much a matter of the amount that God has given us or the ability that God has given us. It's a matter of the faithfulness that we use in the Lord's work. Now, this ties in very closely with what we had to say this morning. There are some Christians who aren't great orators. There are some Christians who stay in the background. God has given them a certain talent in a certain way. And you know, when the Lord comes, we're all going to be required not to show how much we've made for the Lord. You know, sometimes Christians get to be thinking that the person with the most scalps is the best Christian. Like Indians. I've saved 40, while I've led 50 to Christ. Well, you're better than I am. Not at all. There are Christians out in North Africa who witness and witness and witness day in and day out, and occasionally they get to see one led to the Lord. And yet they're faithful. They're faithful. Why? Because God has placed them in a difficult situation. There are Christians that witness and yet don't have the ability that other Christians do. So maybe they don't lead as many to the Lord. They're faithful. And tonight I would just exhort each one of you to examine your own life, not asking the question, what is my total output for the Lord, but asking the question, how faithful am I being in that to which the Lord has called me? The Lord has given me a job to do for Him. I know what it is in my mind. Maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 50 years ago. How faithful am I being? Then you see how important it is if we realize we're not being faithful to the Lord, to make it right with Him and to go on from this night forward. To make it right and to go on. Turn back just a page to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Faithfulness, again, more important than ability. Suppose the Lord Jesus Christ should come tonight. Would he find you in the middle of making that resignation or decision for the 420th time that you were going to start being obedient to him? Or would he find you just carrying on in a way that is pleasing to him as you've been doing for so many months and weeks and years? Faithfulness. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We are to be faithful Christians in the money, in the time, and in the talent that God has given to us. We're to be faithful. And then finally, I'd just like to have you look for one last verse in the book of Revelation. Jumping ahead to the very close of human history as we find it here on the earth. Revelation chapter 17. By the way, this doesn't really bear on what I'm saying, but I'd just like to point out to you the 17th verse. It's one of my favorite verses. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree. What a wonderful thing this day and age we live in. We look at the television, we see the troubles in Washington and all around. Christians, we encourage our hearts. Let's remember, God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. There's no one on earth tonight that's acting outside of the control of God. No one. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. How wonderful. How wonderful to realize that in a coming day, the ones that come with the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones that are with him, he who is Lord of lords and King of kings, the ones who have part in the final great victory, are those who are called and chosen and faithful. I hope tonight that everyone that's here will examine their own hearts. I know in preparing this message, I've examined my own heart. And I hope the Holy Spirit, I just trust and pray that the Holy Spirit will have free access into each one of our hearts and convict us where we need to be convicted about our faithfulness to the Lord. It's one of the most important parts of being a Christian, not only to be useful for the Lord today, but to carry on through the years. Many of you people are not old, I can't say that. Many of you people are older, and you have long lives to look back on. But there's a great deal of work that needs to be done for the Lord even yet. There's a great deal of work that needs to be done at Park of the Palms. All of it for the Lord, all of it good, all of it pleasing to him, all of it very necessary for his people. And you have the opportunity now, while the Lord has not come, and while you have health and strength, to take a hold of some of these ends that need doing, to find that which the Lord would lay on your heart, and to be faithful. That means to do it when no one's looking. That means to do when there's no praise. That means to do through the hard times, as well as the good times. To be faithful. May the Lord grant that we will be a faithful group of Christians here at Park of the Palms. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for the opportunity that we have to look into thy word. We thank thee for the great men of the Old Testament of whom it is said, these were faithful. Father, we thank thee that we can look around us and see men and women today who have served the Lord faithfully for many, many years. We thank thee for them. Lord, help each one of us to purpose in our hearts, even if it be for the first time tonight, that in that thing that thou hast called us to do, we will be faithful. We pray, Father, that each one here tonight might be led and guided and directed to thy Holy Spirit, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we will hear that word saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." We long to see thy joy, Lord Jesus. We long to see thee. And we thank thee for all those who are faithful. And we pray that thou wouldst make us faithful too. Bless now thy dear people, we pray. We commit them to thee. We pray that Park of the Palms might truly be a spiritual power for God. And we pray that thou wilt work mightily through each one here. Thou art able to do a real work in the hearts of men through each individual that lives here or visits here. Only we need to be yielded to thee. We give thanks for each one. We thank thee for each one, and we pray thy blessing upon each one. For we pray and ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.